Good. So we started the sugya of Bishlach Harfiya Nafiya Achar Bishl on Thursday. So I'd like to restart the sugya today, chazer of what we said, because we're going to get jump right in to the basic machlokas that you find among the Rishonim that plays out in Shulchan Aruch. And this is, as we said, very nogeya lemais. It's nogeya to putting croutons in your soup, nogeya to dipping your challah in the soup, nogeya to, I don't know, if you're British and you like to dip crackers in your tea. I don't know, whatever the different types of afia, bishul achar afia you like to do. So obviously there are many different methods of cooking that all serve to take a food that used to be raw and make it now edible and better. There's roasting and cooking and baking and frying and all different types of cooking. So some of them matter, some of them don't in terms of the different methods. But we're going to focus on bishul achar afia and afia achar bishul, particularly when it comes to baking / roasting. We're going to assume baking and roasting are similar to each other in that they're dry heat versus bishul, which is cooking in a liquid. Frying is its own parsha, because frying you have to figure out which one it fits under. But the basic machlokes we show is as follows. The Mordechai in Shabbos quotes a Yireim. The sheet of the Yireim is quoted by the Beis Yosef, it's quoted by everybody, that even though there's a klal of ein bishul achar bishul, you're still not allowed to cook after baking or roasting something, because yesh bishul achar afia. And then he says, and therefore, meaning that's chiddush number one, that there's such a din called bishul achar afia, and therefore is the second chiddush, you're not allowed to dip your challah in your soup even in a klisheni, because even a klisheni has the capacity to be mevashel the challah. So a second chiddush, that even though we didn't discuss klisheni and klisheni yet, but we'll get there, but even though klisheni normally isn't mevashel, but it has the ability to be mevashel your challah when you put it in your soup, you would have thought that putting challah in your soup is for sure going to be okay. Klisheni is not mevashel, plus there's a good possibility that ain't bishul achar afia. So the Yireim throws all the chumras at you, that yesh bishul achar afia, and that bishul could even happen in a klisheni, and he has two rayas to the first part. The klisheni part we're not going to get to right now, but the two rayas to the first part, the yesh bishul achar afia. One is Gemara, and they both appear in Pesachim Mem Aleph, but one's primarily in Pesachim Mem Aleph, the other one primarily in Brachos Lamed Ches. Pesachim Mem Aleph tells us that if you have a previously roasted Korban Pesach, like it's supposed to be made, you're supposed to roast Korban Pesach, and then you're mevashel it, that's a violation of bishul of a Korban Pesach. That's a violation of the problem of the psul of Korban Pesach and the iser of being mevashel a Korban Pesach. So you see that there is bishul achar tzli, because tzli, yes, it changed the food in one way. Bishul changes the food in another way. So it's still called bishul, even though there was already tzli, even though it wasn't done on something raw. That's raya number one. Raya number two, brachas taflam ches, cooking matzah takes away its status as matzah, takes away its status as a regular baked matzah, and according to Rabbi Yossi, and therefore you're not yotzi the mitzvah of achilas matzah with matzah mevushel. So if you have matzah that was baked already, and then you cook the matzah, you're not yotzi the mitzvah of matzah. Those are the two rayas of the Yireim. Comes along the Rav Yah, we'll say it quickly because it's just chazara, and the Rav Yah totally disagrees, because the raya from the cooked matzah doesn't work, because the Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches raises that issue, and the Gemara says that the problem with cooked matzah is Be'inan tam matzah v'leka. It's a localized din in dine matzah. That matzah has a din that you need tam matzah, and you simply don't have tam matzah. So the raya from matzah is not going to be a good raya. The raya from the Korban Pesach, that also the Gemara tells us that is a localized din by Korban Pesach, because by Korban Pesach, the Gemara Pesachim tries to make the comparison between Korban Pesach that's cooked and matzah that's cooked, but rejects the comparison by saying Bashal Mavushal Mikal Makom, that it seems to be a localized din in Korban Pesach, that by Korban Pesach any bishul, mashu bishul, anything that resembles bishul, anything that's even a shmek of bishul is going to be problematic by Korban Pesach. So a special din, the Torah goes nuts about not being mevashel Korban Pesach, so you have to be very careful about anything that even looks like bishul of a Korban Pesach, that even resembles bishul of a Korban Pesach, a riboy in a pasuk. So how can you derive from there what the halacha is going to be when it comes to bishul Shabbos. So the Rav Yah says neither of these rayas are compelling, and all you need to do to know that these rayas are not compelling is read the rest of the Gemara, because the Gemara says both reasons explicitly, that bina tamatzav aleka vashalom vushal mikal makom. You read the Gemara's, it's clear. Beis Yosef was very impressed by the Rav Yah's kashas on the Yireim. Beis Yosef says this is kushya gedola. These are very, very strong kashas, or chazaka kushya, I don't remember the exact lashon. Very, very strong kashas on the Yireim. Beis Yosef typically does not do that. He doesn't tell you what he thinks is a good kasha or a bad kasha. He just tells you the kashas and maybe how to be miyashiv them. But he views this as a very strong kasha. So we started to discuss one potential resolution, and we rejected it. We're not going to go revisit that now. But what I'd like to discuss today are basically two approaches, one of the Egle Tal and one of the Taz, in how we could possibly defend the Yireim. Meaning, after all, the Yireim knew how to learn, right? How could it be that he didn't know how to read the rest of the Gemara? The Gemara is explicit. That these are dinim related specifically to the din of Matzah and specifically to the din of Karban Pesach. How can the Yireim say that this is a paradigm that's going to teach us Tekala Tarukula, that it's called Bishul after you already had an Afiyah? How can you call it a paradigm? These are localized dinim. So the Egle Tal defends the Yireim as follows. He brings a Tosfos and a Rush that understand that the only reason that Lo Yatsa by Matzah is that it becomes Matzah Ashira when it's cooked. When you cook Matzah, the issue is that it becomes Matzah Ashira. So the new halachic status of cooked Matzah Ashira, what's the problem? How does it become Matzah? It overrides the original status of baked Matzah. Meaning to say, and the way the Egle Tal spells it out, is that apparently there are two separate issues that cooking Matzah could affect. There are two separate impacts that cooking Matzah could have. It could take away the lechem status, which is what the Gemara in Brachos initially thought, because the Gemara in Brachos thought, you know, just like when you cook vegetables, it takes away the vegetable status. So you cook matzah, it takes away the lechem status of matzah, will change the whole status, right? The halacha by Brachos is if you have a bracha that's a vegetable that's normally edible raw, and then you cook it, it's now going to be a shahakol. We assume the halacha that's only if it was a downgrade in cooking it, but if, when you cook it, it makes it more delicious, then we assume that it remains hadama. If it was either inedible raw, now it becomes edible, that's obviously becoming more delicious, but if in any way it becomes more delicious, la halacha, it's going to be a bar pri hadama, and you know, so that's the way to tell is, do normal people cook these vegetables or not? I mean, if these are vegetables that normally would be cooked, then you assume that it makes them more delicious when you cook them, and it would be a bar pri hadama. But if they're vegetables that are not normally cooked, then you would assume that it's a downgrade, and it would not be a bar pri hadama. How you determine what's normal? Who's a normal person? So you have to determine based on society. You know, obviously in different societies, in different cultures, you know, people will eat different things. Onions, you know, people typically will only eat raw if it's cut up into tiny pieces in a salad or something. People would not eat an onion raw. Typically, I remember when I was in yeshiva in Karen Biavna, one guy was very frustrated with the quality of the lunch, and he's like, so he just took an onion, just took a bite out of his mouth as well. You know, like, there's no, you know, it's no worse than, you know, but most normal people, you know, not the most normal guy. Most normal people would probably not do that. But anyway, so in that context, the Gemara had this have. I mean, it's to compare matzah to the vegetables, because maybe cooking matzah takes away the lechem status. Or the other possibility is that cooking matzah doesn't take away the status of lechem, it's mevatel the shem afui. It takes away the baked status by elevating it to matzah ashira, which if you carried that over to vegetables would have no impact on vegetables. The vegetables were not, did not have a previously baked status. You know, there's no din of matzah ashira by vegetables. So when the Gemara says, being in tam matzah v'leka, what the Gemara is doing is it's discussing, it's bavorning that chakira, that what happens exactly when you cook matzah. So it's taking a stand and it's saying the second side, that when you cook matzah, it doesn't take away the shem lechem, it takes away the shem afoy, it takes away the baked status and elevates it to matzah ashira. That applies equally to Shabbos, because being mevatel the original afiyah through the bishul would be an issue. issue for Shabbos, meaning that's you're showing that Bishul can have an impact even after Afiyah, that the Afiyah is now rejected, the Afiyah is now pushed aside, and we're focused on the Bishul. So the conclusion of the Gemara is that cooking takes away the baked status. So when we say Be'inan Tam Matzah V'Leka, that indicates to us that Bishul takes away the Afiyah. The phrase Be'inan Tam Matzah, so you can't just mean that you have to have Tam Matzah Piv. The Rebbeinu Yonah says, Tamid Rebbeinu Yonah say in Brachos, who ever heard of such a thing? You need Tam Matzah? Doesn't say anywhere you need Tam Matzah. How, where do you ever find anywhere in Shas that you need Tam? What do you need Matzah to be? You need Matzah to be made with flour of the five grains. It needs to be made with water. No 18 minutes. It can't be Matzah Ashira. Whoever says anything about Tam? There's no such din of Tam Matzah. The Rashba in Bracha says, really? No such din? Rabbeinu Yonah missed the Beferish Gemara if he thinks there's no such din of Tam Matzah. There's a Gemara that talks about Hillel, right? Hillel discusses Korech, that you take Matzah, Marah, and you put it all together, right? So the Gemara says, yeah, but Bizman Azeh, that Marah is only Darabanan, and Matzah's Daraisa, even Hillel would agree you have to have them separately. Even Hillel would agree you have to have them separately. Why? Because the Marah is going to come and it's going to be Mevatel, the Mariris, so the Marah is going to come, it's going to be Mevatel, the Tam Matzah. If they're both so Asi, Marah Dirabanan is Mevatel, the Matzah Doraisa. So says Rashi, you see Beferish, that you need Tam Matzah. Because we're assuming that the Marah, that some foreign Tam that doesn't belong there, if you assume Marah Dirabanan, it's a foreign Tam that doesn't belong there, is going to be Mevatel, your Tam Matzah. So you see that there is a din of Tam Matzah. Whereas Rabbeinu Yonah says, I never heard of such a thing. There's no din of Tam Matzah. It doesn't exist a din of Tam Matzah. So obviously Rabbeinu Yonah is going to say in that Gemara and Pesachim a little differently about the Korech, right? Meaning it obviously is not a din in Tam. Rashba seems to have a girsa in the Gemara that it says Tam. That it says that Asi Marah Drabanu Mvatel Tam Matzah. The Rashba uses that lush of Mvatel Tam Matzah. Rabbeinu Yonah didn't have such a girsa. It's Mvatel Matzah. For whatever reason, Mvatel the mitzvah of Matzah, that being Mvatel Tam Matzah. So you have to start parsing out like what exactly. I mean, there are tvei dinim in tam. This is the way that the Rishonim already say. There's that it could be that the matzah has to have its tam, but you don't have to be margish that tam. That it didn't in the chepta. But korchim basiv is a different halacha. That might just be that it's not even called an achila because it doesn't go down your throat directly. So that may be a different halacha. But the Rabbeinu Yonah brings a raya that you don't need tam matzah from another beferish gemara. The gemara says bala matzah yatza. That if you're a bala of the matzah without chewing, you just somehow, which don't try that. I mean, obviously we're talking about soft matzah. If you were to take crackers and try to be balea, that's not going to work. But if you're balea matzah, if you take a soft matzah and you just balea without actually chewing it, so you're yotze. Yotze the mitzvah of matzah. How can you be yotze the mitzvah of matzah? You didn't have tam matzah. You didn't taste the matzah. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, you see beferish, then you don't need tam matzah. Unlike the Rashba who thinks that there is a din of tam matzah, based on the Korech situation, right? With all the Gemaras, by the way, whenever you learn about matzah, they're obviously all assuming soft matzah. It seems that way in every Gemara. They were all Sfardim. Ashkenazim came along later and got very nervous about soft matzah, so we started making crackers. But it's clear, and I think when you learn all the sugyas, Rabbi Sablovsky says that he always has a gigantic Korech. He takes like a huge shear in Korech. So why does he take a huge shear in Korech? He said, because 3/4 of it ends up on the floor. When you're trying to bite into it, half the crumbs end up all over the floor. It doesn't happen if you use soft matzahs. Then you don't need such a huge shear. It will all end up in your mouth. Okay, that's my pitch for soft matzahs. But anyway, the phrase be'ina tam matzah doesn't mean you have to taste your matzah. There's no such din that you have to taste your matzah. The proof that it doesn't simply mean that you have to taste the matzah is that the Hemshech of the Gemara. The Hemshech of the Gemara goes on to say, it follows up with a similar question about Marar, and says, Be'inon tam Marar v'leka. Right, the Gemara, after saying Bina Tam Matzah V'lecha, goes on and challenges about Mara and then answers Bina Tam Mara V'lecha. Why didn't the Gemara already know that answer was coming? We already said Bina Tam Matzah. So it must be that when we say Tam Matzah, it's a different din about losing the shame baked, whereas Bina Tam Mara V'lecha is actually a din that you need to taste the Mara. How do I know there's actually a din you need to taste the Mara? Bala Mara Lo Yatzah. Right, meaning even though it sounds like a similar phrase, being in tamatz veleka, being in tamar veleka, Ed Leitel says it can't mean the same thing. You'd think similar phrases mean the same thing. It can't mean the same thing, because how could the Gemara have realized already being in tamatz veleka and not yet have realized being in tamar veleka? Elamai, it must be that the Gemara is building up. First, there's a din of being in tam matzah v'leka. That's not really about the taste of matzah. There's no din about the taste of matzah. That's a din about if you cook matzah, it takes away the previous baking. It takes away the shame afui. It is now not considered baked. It now becomes matzah ashira. And it's not considered baked anymore. Whereas being in tam marar v'leka is kipshuto, that you need to actually, there's no din of marar ashira, but being in tam marar v'leka, it's kipshuto, that you need to actually taste the marar. So approach number one. Again, we rejected the approach we gave on Thursday, so we're not even going to be go race that going forward. Approach number one for how to defend the Yireim. Didn't the Yireim realize, being a tam matzah v'leka, that there's that it's a beferish of Gemara, that matzah is an exception and matzah is not the rule? Says the Ekleital, the idea of being a tam matzah v'leka is a principle that applies equally to Hilchos Shabbos, because what it means is that it takes away the previous baked status when you now cook it. And that's exactly what we're trying to figure out with Shabbos. That is this real cooking, even though it was previously baked?
That seems to be a matzah-specific halacha, because by matzah you have a din of lechem only. We have no such thing by Shabbos. So seemingly the removal of the...
So he's saying that the mechanics of why it's matzah, meaning, what's matzah ashira normally? Matzah ashira is that you bake it with apple juice or with with fruit juice or something like that. You make it some... There's water and it's flour. What makes this matzah ashira? So he says, what makes it matzah ashira is we view it as if it was never baked. That's what makes it matzah ashira. Oh, now that's a din in that applies equally to Hilchos Shabbos. Comes along the Taz in Shin Yud Ches Sif Katan Vav, and the Taz defends the Yireim a little differently. The very fact that the taste changes is the very same reason that it's also to do in Shabbos. Meaning, what is the malacha of Bishul? The malacha of Bishul is to qualitatively make a significant taste change in the item through the application of heat. And that's exactly what you're doing. Being a tam matzah v'leka tells you that even though something is baked, when you cook it, you're making a significant taste change in the item. And the same is true in Hilchos Shabbos. That's the very geder of Bishul. Taz points out that by Bishul, and this is a chiddush, by Bishul, the geder is mitstamik v'yafala, that you're going to cook something and it's going to become better. It indicates that any quality, the fact that we're mechayiv for Mishum Bishul by mitstamik v'yafala indicates that any qualitative change qualifies as Bishul. So when the Gemara says bina tam matzah v'leka, it's indicating that we recognize the qualitative change caused by cooking matzah. That even though it was baked, cooking is significant. Cooking really affects a qualitative change, and that's the same geder of Malachas Bishul. Malachas Bishul is a significant qualitative change. So tam matzah is not a localized din in matzah. It applies equally to Bishul b'Shabbos. Whether the same din applies to Karban Pesach is subject to debate. Right? It could be that Karban Pesach just has a din sli, and it doesn't matter what qualitative change you make to it. Or it could be that when the Gemara says Bashalmi Bushalmi Kal Makom, it means that the Karban Pesach also goes through a qualitative change. Right? The Taz has two paths to take as far as what to do about Karban Pesach. Well, let's focus on Bina Tam Matzah V'leka. So what the Taz is saying is that Bina Tam Matzah V'leka is similar to the Ekleital but different. That Bina Tam Matzah V'leka is telling me Ein Achinami, it's about a din in tam. It's telling me a din in tam. But why is it that matters that you don't have tam, they don't have tam matzah? Because it's a qualitative change in the item, and that qualifies as Bishul. The qualitative change caused by cooking the matzah takes away the tam matzah, and that very same taking away of a previous tam is the very geder of bishul. So I do want to take a question, maybe just to crystallize with the nafkamina, and then we'll take questions. Rav Bullock points out the nafkamina between the Eglei Tal and the Taz is when it comes to toasting bread. Right, you have previously baked bread, and now you're going to toast it. So the Taz would say it's asur, because you're improving the bread. It's mitzvah v'yavala. You're making it a better bread. Unlike, you know, Rav Meisha has in that tshuva about tefilas kelim on a toaster, and not like a toaster oven, but a toaster, you know, like a bread toaster that you know, where it pops up, you know, those toasters. Rav Meisha writes, nah, it doesn't need tefila because it doesn't do anything. What do you mean it doesn't do anything? People buy it and they toast their bread, and he says, nah, it just makes the bread a little crunchy. You know, it doesn't do anything. That's not a real change. It's a big, big chiddush. Like, when do you determine what's called doing something? You know, I would think if there's a market that people buy them, so that would mean that it does something. But the way Rav Bullock understands is that the Taz would say it's asur because it's now improved, but the Eglei Tal would say it's mutter because the halachic status is not changed by the toasting. Cooking affects a halachic change even after roasting, but you know, you're not going to have the toasting after baking is not going to affect any sort of halachic change, even though it's mitstamik viyafalo, even though maybe it's you're improving it. This comes up all the time, by the way. People, you want to warm up your challah, so you know, you put it on the hot plate to warm up the challah. So is that okay? It's already baked, and now it's going to get crunchy. Now it's going to get a little tough. When you warm it up on the hot plate, you warm it up on the plata, it gets crunchy at the bottom. Or let's say you want to make, I know it sounds crazy, let's say someone wants to make pizza bagels for shalashuddas, for their kids. Right? So every ingredient in that pizza bagel has already been mavushal, is already cooked, and it's a davar yavish, a name bishlach or bishl davar yavish, right? But it's you're taking the frozen pizza bagels, and you put them on the hot plate. Is anything wrong with doing that on Shabbos? Right? Is anything wrong with doing that? So you're toasting or heating up this previously baked food. So this might be enough gemina between the Eglei Tal and the Taz. Now questions. Are you?
The Taz is only saying if it's making it better, it's an issue, not if it's making it worse.
I think so. Yeah.
What do you do about like?
So if you have toasted bread and then you burn it, so then it would be probably not a problem.
But it's a problem in between.
Yeah. So you probably can't do it. Yeah, I think you can't do it.
Is that what we say about Lapa that it's time with Yafala and Bishon? I thought we said
no, he's relying on a Urayim, Yeshitis Urayim that we don't really paskin like, which is a little bit difficult. Yeah.
Also, second question. I understand why we want to be
The Taz is saying mechidushim. He's using a Urayim that we don't paskin like to try to explain all the Gemaras. Yeah.
So, I guess it's just surprising that la'alata were really koshish.
The question is whether we're koshish for the Taz's interpretation, which relies on the Urayim.
But even like Tal. It just seems like a big kiddush to like justify a rishon, but to like not the clear way of reading the mind.
You can't just throw out a Urayim, you know.
It's not throwing out, but I mean, if we're deciding like who we pass him, like, you know, a lot of the rishon don't say like.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll get to Pesach Halacha. We're not there yet. We're going to get to Pesach Halacha. That's why I asked someone to bring the Mishmur. Thank you, Yonah, for bringing the Mishmur. Josh. He's assuming that toasting is different than baking in the sense that it has a qualitative change in the item.
It's not afiyah acharafiyah, or it is?
It may be afiyah acharafiyah on a technical sense, but meaning it's a different kind of afiyah acharafiyah. I mean, it's a qualitative change without a halachic change. It's a loaded question, says it afiyah acharafiyah. I mean, it's clearly a qualitative change that people are interested in all the time, that people toast something. No, because the longer you keep it in the oven, it doesn't get toasted. It's a different, meaning when you bake it originally, it wouldn't have that toasted taste to it. It's after you bake it, it's toasting. It's a different, yeah.
But
the pizza bagels and shalishes. What about the marinara sauce? Isn't it cooked?
So that was definitely pre-cooked, and it's already part of the salad. So I don't think you would consider that to be a separate, independent liquid. And there's very little of it.
Oh,
those macaroni pizza bagels.
How can I make my own pizza bagel on Shabbos and put marinara sauce on top instead of coming?
Yeah, so if it's totally, if it's like absorbed in the bread and it's not, right, meaning if you have a significant amount of liquids, then we got to go back to that discussion we had last week about how you define what's a liquid and what's not.
Did this machlokas related all to the machlokas Rambam and Rashba about cooking? Meaning, they laid out there, interpreted the Rambam to say that it was talking about Hazar. Doesn't he have to say that because of the sheet here?
Say, why does he have
because
to?
Because here he's saying that he's not saying about improving the quality of the food. That's the Tata sheet. So that's what he interpreted about Hazara by the Rambam there. Deg Leital.
The Shitasa.
Yeah.
Okay. So it works. Good.
And according to the Taz, what constitutes, you know, betterness? Why is it objectively better?
Yeah, meaning Rabbi Willig is taking the Taz a little far by saying, I think that's what Josh was pointing out also, meaning, like, the Taz said that Mitzamek V'yafalo in the context of, of Bishra Acharafia. But to then apply it to Afiyah Acharafiyah, it's the Acharafiyah. Although Mitzamek V'yafalo initially, I mean, the whole idea of applying this concept of Mitzamek V'yafalo to Bishul D'Oraisa in the first place is Bichud. Mitzamek V'yafalo is an important concept, not yet, when we get to Dinim D'Rabbanan and Bishul. The idea that it applies, that's based on a different Shita Seyireim, that Bishul Achar Bishul B'davar Lach depends on Mitzamek V'yafalo and Mitzamek V'yafalo.
We don't pass on that Rabbeinu Yeruchim
There's Rabbeinu Yeruchim, yeah.
I don't understand how, like, Rebbe Willig is saying, like, this Taz plus the Taz later. We don't pass him like the Taz,
on that. Yeah, he's just Nafkamina. Nafkamina between.
I'm not saying we can't. You're saying it's us for bread on the Tuesday?
No, I didn't say that. I said Rebbe Willig holds Nafkamina between the Egli Tal and the Taz is whether you can toast bread.
Oh, he didn't say that.
That's what he says. That, okay, so it would seem. So what are we passing? Take a look at Shulchan Aruch first, Sif Hei. Says Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Misha Omer, the Dover Shenef al Nitzla, im Bishla Acharkach, b'mashke, Yesh Bo Mishum Bishl. That there is Bishl Acharfiyah, v'asu litein pasa, filu b'klisheni sheyatzel ledespo. Right, so first he quotes the Shita Zireim, v'yesh matirin, and Yesh Matirin, and then Ramah adds b'klisheni, only b'klisheni. Pashtos Yesh Matirin does not mean only B'klisheni, Yesh Matirin on the whole Indian. That Yesh Matirin on the whole Indian of Bishul Acharfia. So he quotes both opinions. First the Shita Seireim and the Shita of the Ravya. How do we paskin when he says, how does he go? How does he say? That Yesh Misha Omer is the first daya and Yesh Matirin is the second daya. So how do you paskin when you have a Yesh Misha Omer and then a Yesh Matirin? What are the Kali Apsak? So who is the one that worked hard on these Kali Apsak of the Mechaber? Ravadia. Ravadia always talks about this stuff. So Ravadia in Liv Yaschein, Os Memtes, and in Yalkut Yosef you could find it also, he writes that the Shulchan Aruch paskin is the second Yesh. That once food went through any form of Bishul, it could be reheated in any way, that there's no issue of afia achar bishul, or bishul achar afia. The bir alacha in Sif Tes Vav, in Dibur Maskel V'hu Yavesh, so it's Sif Tes Vav, Dibur Maskel V'hu Yavesh, the bir alacha says, Tzaruchiyin, hola el b'sif hei, mevi dasar b'lozim imitz. He starts asking a question based on the assumption that the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Yireim, right? I mean, the Bir Alacha seems to assume that when the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Hei quotes two days, that he's paskin like the first day.
Or he learns like that the Ramah's shot in the Shulchan Aruch is the pashas in the Shulchan Aruch.
Right. Is the Ramah really saying pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, or is the Ramah just changing things? You know, sometimes it just fits in the shigra delishna. It fits to say the cliche when you want to say your own.
There's therefore no raya from the Ber Halacha that he.
Okay. Does he say anything in Dark? I remember. Does he say anything in Dark Emosha to indicate that? Yeah.
Even the Ramah adds right after the Yesh Matirin. It says also the Yesh Matirin the whole thing.
Right.
So maybe that's a raya that he really thinks the Machaber means, like the Yesh Matirin.
Yeah. It's a little strange, though, no? That he's going to quote as the Ikar Deya, the sheet of the Urayim, that he thinks that the kashas of the Ravya are such a strong kasha.
Why is nobody saying Yachid Miravim? Because Yishmi Shomer is Yachid and Matirim is not Ravim. So why wouldn't you apply that?
It should have been Yesh Misha Matir. Oh no, not I don't know. Not to be medaic like this.
Well, it really seems to understand that it's both in this case. There's no issue because it says reheating dry cooked food next to fire be permissible as a Shulchan Aruch.
We're first going through the Shulchan Aruch now. Don't jump ahead. No. Okay. So Shulchan Aruch quotes both deos. The Yireim, the Ravya, according to Rav Avadya, it means that he and as reported in Yalkut Yosef, it means that he paskins like the second Yesh, like the Ravya, and whereas the Bir Lacha seems to assume that he holds like the Yireim, whether it's like Ephraim says because he's learning like the Ramaz Pshat and the Mechaber, or whether he just holds that it's a different klal in the Psak. Now the Rama paskins, seems to paskin, that not only should we be machmir the yesh b'shalach harafiyah, but you even need to be machmir with the klisheni the yesh b'shalach harafiyah. Because right, what does Rama say? V'yesh matir b'klisheni, v'yesh matir afil b'kli rishon, v'nagu lizor l'chadchila shalolitein pas afilu b'klisheni kol zman sheyatzol adizbo. Rama quotes, our minag nagu l'chadchila to be machmir for the sheet of the Urayim, even in a klisheni that's filled with hot liquid. So if you make tea on Shabbos in a klisheni, let's assume that you hold that you're allowed to, you're like Rav Soloveitchik, you're allowed to make tea in a klisheni on Shabbos. You can't dip your cracker in the tea, according to the Rama. However, in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he points out that the yellow croutons that people put in their soup, those are deep fried. And deep fried in oil is ready mavushal. So that would be bishalach or bishal. That would not be bishalach or afiyah or bishalach or tzli, and that would therefore be mutter. So if you're into the yellow soup mandel croutons, that's no problem. You could put those in your hot soup. Now, logically, baking and cooking accomplish two different things. So it makes sense that you can't put bread in a hot cliche. Nin Rama says yesh mekil and afilu b'kli rishon, right? So we know that this is the fundamental basis of the machlokas is really whether they accomplish two separate things or they you know or it's once it's cooked it's already cooked. Now if you look in the Mishnah Berurah and Sivkat Mem Aleph, right? Sivkat Mem Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch had said that. This is going on the line that in bishla achakach b'mashke, you take something that's baked and you then cook it in mashke. Yesh bo mishum bishul. Says the mishburu diafal gav dein bishul achar bishul b'davri yavesh mikol makom yesh bishul achar tzli va'afilu adayin roteach machmas atzliya. Even if it's still hot from the roasting, v'ad into l'shita zu yesh tzli achar bishul. So important, he says, if you say there's bishul achar tzli, then there's going to be tzli achar bishul as well. So if you have something that was cooked, you're not going to be allowed to put it eitzel eish next to the fire without rotav. Mishburin sif katan memdalid afilu b'kli rishon, right where he says that there are those that are making afilu b'kli rishon. He says siril dein shayich shem b'shalach rafi yotzli avu adin lahepach. Right, that's the day that holds that you have nothing in either direction. Now in Shin Yud Ches Tesvav, you skip ahead to Tesvav, and the Mechaber Paskins, Dovershin is Bashal Kol Tzarcho, Vuhu Yavesh, She'en Bo Marak, Mutu La'anicho K'neged Amadura, Afil B'makom She'yad Tzoledes Bo. Well, what's he saying there? You have something that's Nisbashel, so it was cooked, you don't have to worry about a Dover Lach now, so you're not going to have to worry about Bishlach or Bishl, because it's a dry cooked item. You have a potato kugel, it's a cooked item, a dry cooked item. You're allowed to put it connected to madura. You're allowed to put it next to a dry heat source, even b'makom shayad soledespo. So the mechaber himself seems to be allowing tzliach rabishal. Otherwise, putting something on a hot plate, right, that seems like tzliach rabishal. According to the Shulchan Aruch, if that's true, meaning if you were going to have a problem with tzliach rabishal, then how would you ever be allowed to warm up food on Shabbos? Yeah.
It could be because I was talking about the Xerus Hefsher, that it's not putting the pillow that's
got. Oh, so let's go through the approaches, right? So the approaches. Bir Lacha, Vuhu Yavesh, so says Bir Lacha, Tzorach Iyun, Hala El Besifei Mevidas, Harbalazim Mimitz. In Sif, hey, he quoted the Urayim, that you have to be careful about Sliach or Bishul. Meaning, you have to be careful about Bishul Achar Sli, but we saw in the Mishnah Berurah, Vuhu Adin Sliach or Bishul, the two are the same thing. Vayin Shom B'magen Avram, Deladaita Hu Adin Diyei Sliach or Bishul, Ve'ich Matir Acha B'Stam. How can you just be Matir B'Stam to allow it? I'm not used to all these pages. So he quotes V'chein Hiksha B'Sefer Maimur Mordechai Ayin Shom Shenidchal Kli Yashiv. My Mordechai asked the same question, so I look over there and he comes up with some answers. Bir Lech asks the obvious kasha, that considering the item was originally cooked, why is it mutter to put it next to a dry heat that's roasting after cooking? The Shulchan Aruch in Sifhei Paskins that it's aser. Again, he's assuming that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that it's aser. The Shulchan Aruch quoted two days. Machlok as whether the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that it's aser.
No, but he's saying bestam.
Okay. Not love dafka, meaning not always. He doesn't always go, meaning if he already indicates which way to paskin, so it could be that later he'll listen like that sheet. At least he should have quoted an argument in Hanami, but it's a real big problem because it's against the halacha. That's what he seems to be saying. In the Sefer Gevurah Akiva that I mentioned last week, he says that the mashmos of many poskim is that the Shulchan Aruch was lav dafka, and is only talking about basar ha'afui otzalun, and therefore there's no chshash of tzli achar bishul. Whoa, Shulchan Aruch and Tezvav, davar shen is bashel kol tzarcho v'yavesh. So he says chayadim klal chav sif yud, the Alter Rebbe in Shin Yud Ches imply that he means davar shen nitzla kol tzarcho v'yavesh. That's a little tough, no? Meaning, it's one thing if you're talking stam in some area of halach. You're talking about the sugya of bishul achar tzli. This is the worst opportunity to be vague about or imprecise about what's bishul and what's tzli. To start referring to bishul as tzli and tzli as bishul in the sugya of bishul achar tzli, that's unthinkable. That's hard to imagine. Very difficult. In the very discussion of bishul achar tzli, Shulchan Aruch would be imprecise in the language that he uses. The Sefer Tehillah LeDavid, which I found in the footnote in the Shabbos Kitchen, the old version of Shabbos Kitchen. I don't know if you saw it. Rav Simcha Ben Kahn put out a new, expanded version of Shabbos Kitchen. I assume he just updated it for all the new things that people have in their kitchens, right? For sous vides and warming drawers. And you know, when he put out the first one, no one had any of these things. So I assume that was the prior. None of the halachas changed. I assume that's why he had to put out a new edition. But in the old edition, he quotes Ayin Betila LeDavid Uba Kaf HaChayim. That's the pashtus. In Shulchan Aruch and Sif Tezvav, he's not talking about tzli. He's saying that you're warming it up next to the fire. Warming food with heat, but not with direct fire, is not called tzli. I'm not sure if you find such a chiluk in the Rishonim. I mean, normally the chiluk is between whether there's a liquid medium or not, but it's mistaver. That's not tzli is when you roast something on a fire. When you put something in a warm place, that's not necessarily a tzli. And therefore, the Shabbos Kitchen concludes that chicken boiled in soup or gravy is considered a cooked item, right? If the pot is removed from the blech and then the soup is poured off, can you put the pot of dry chicken back on the blech? And would you be allowed to do that? It's already been mavushal. You have chicken in a sauce, saucy chicken, right? Yeah, familiar? Familiar with the dish? Yeah, so you take the chicken, you pour out the sauce, right? And now you have the fully cooked chicken, who's mavushal. Can you warm it up on a blech? Can you warm it up on a plata? So he says, no, that's roasting. And it's roasting is a new improvement to the food that you haven't had before, and we're matmir for tzliach rabishal. That would be your problem, he says. However, roasting is only where the heat is intense and direct, like a very hot blech. But to warm up cooked food on top of a pot that's on a blech, or off to the side of a blech where it's not intensely hot, that would not be a problem. So let's say, well, nafkamina might be a warming drawer. There may be a difference between warming up on a hot plate, directly on a plata. Let's assume there's no issue of achzara to put directly on a non-adjustable Israeli hot plate, right? You know, those hot plates that get like really hot. So the fire hazard ones, right? So the so it's warm directly on the hot plate, according to this understanding, would be a real problem because it's about the intensity of the heat. So we're going to be machmir for tzliach or bishul when it's very intense heat. But when it's only in a warming drawer or something, where the heat is not really intense at all, it's above yatzaledes, but it's not really an intense heat. You can't call that like by an eish. Maybe that wouldn't be a problem. The problem is, maisim chol yom. I mean, very religious Jewish households, I think, right? Meaning, I saw a few frightened faces when I was saying that just a second ago. Like, what are you talking about? That's what we do, right? Very religious Jewish households. We'll take chicken that was cooked in a sauce and we'll warm it up on a hot plate. We'll warm it up, you know, with a fairly intense heat. On a blech, on a plata. And according to the Shabbos kitchen, if it's right in the heat source, that would be awesome. Rabbi Willig tightens as follows. Based on the Taz and Negli Tal, we could answer the Bir Alachas question differently. It was a Bir Alachas kasha that we have a steer in the Mechaber. The Mechaber in Sif Hei seems to assume that there's that it's Aser to do Tzliach or Bishul. He's assuming that he assumes it's Aser. We'll just take that for now. And in Sif Tez Vav, the Mechaber seems to say that it's Mutter to do Tzliach or Bishul. So says Rabbi Willig, the Taz would tell you there's no new taste from that warming. There's no mitzvah viyafalo in that warming, so it's mutter. And that's the sheet of the Chazanish. Lamed Zayin Osya Dalid Tibra Maskel Sif Tezvad, who says, Al Karchach the Kol Shalo Yovel L'tam Tzli Mamish El Sheyis Yavish Ktsas Ein B'zeh B'shalach R'bishal. If there's no actual Tam Tzli, it just dries a little bit, that's not B'shalach R'bishal. The Agletal would say, that's the like the Shilta Gibram Tzliach or Bishul is anyway mutter. That's how the Minchas Kohen answers this question. That will emerge that according to how we paskin Yesh Tzliach or Bishul will be asur. Meaning, we said that Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Magen Avraham that Tzliach or Bishul and Bishulach or Tzli are exactly the same thing. Siv Hei was about Bishulach or Tzli. Siv Tezvav is about Tzliach or Bishul. Maybe we don't have to accept that equation between the two. Between Tzliach HaBishul and Bishlach HaTzli. Why would we have to accept that equation? Because according to the Agletal, the whole idea was that we see that cooking that which was previously baked, which elevates matzah to matzah ashira, that's something that takes away previously baked status. I don't necessarily know that baking something that was previously cooked takes away the original cooked status. And therefore, it could be that that's the answer to the question. Meaning, it's the simplest answer to the question. The Shilta Giborim Shabbos Samach Aleph says that Bishul Achar Afiyah is Aser, Afiyah Achar Bishul is Mutter. And he thinks that the Rav Willig thinks the Agletal fits very nicely with that. So, if you assume like the Shilta Giborim, that's the answer, right? So it would emerge that Yesh Sli Achar Bishul. What was it? What did we say? No, it would be what? That there's Bishul Achar Sli, but there's not Sli Achar Bishul. Is that what the Shulchan Aruch is saying?
It's a logically lower level cooking.
Ah, because it's a fundamentally lower level cooking. So again, Afiyah Achar Bishul is going to be Mutter. Right. Afiyah Achar Bishul is going to be Mutter, but Bishul Achar Afiyah is going to be Asir. Right. So it would turn out that the bread and the soup is going to be a problem.
Not toast.
Right. Now, the Bir Alacha in Shinichas Hay discusses what if you add another wrinkle? What if you add one more wrinkle? Tzli Achar Bishul Achar Tzli. You have something that's roasted, then you cook it, then you re-roast it. What would you say then? So you think, when does that ever come up? It does. It comes up. Bishul achar tzli achar bishul comes up, and tzli achar bishul achar tzli could come up as well. We'll discuss how soon. So l'chora, that would depend on whether bishul achar tzli, what's the mechanics? Why is it that bishul achar tzli is problematic? Right, is bishul achar tzli problematic because it makes the original tzli go away? And the tzli is as if kilu would never happen because now it's mavushal. I've taken my challah, I put it in hot soup, so now it's mavushal, it's no longer tzli. In which case, now when I'm tzolid again, it's real tzli, and it's a problem. Or do you say, no, it's just that bishlach rafia adds a dimension. So now it's both roasted and cooked. Right? Sometimes I'll barbecue the meat before Shabbos, and then my wife will put it in the oven for another half hour to make sure that it's not red inside. Right? What was the point of me barbecuing it then? Because the black lines on it, there's a barbecue flavor to it. Both are evident. Both contribute to the taste of the food. It's not that one goes away. So this is two shitos. Prima Gadim allows it, and Avir Alecha brings a raya from Karm Pesach, that's Sliach or Bishul being Aser, which proves that even though you roasted it most recently, the original Bishul is still there. Right? So by Karm Pesach, you have Sliach or Bishul, it's still going to be Aser. Why is Sliach or Bishul going to be Aser? Because you've Mavashul to Karm Pesach, it's a problem. But I was solid afterwards. Doesn't that get rid of the Bishul? Elamai, it doesn't. You see that the Bishul is still present, which is a big raya lahakel. The Bir Alacha disagrees, though. He quotes this Prima Gadim. Bir Alacha disagrees, because even though Bishul is still there after Tzli, the Tzli is definitely still there, and that alone should be enough to aser further Bishul. Meaning the fact that you've now, even if you say that you've now introduced the Tzli and the Bishul has not gone away, to further be Mevashel, that which the Tzli slowly eats away at the Tzli and changes the dynamic of the food. So what's the kudus machlok? So if you're looking at halachic status, the original bishul is still there, and it should therefore be mutter to recook it like the egli tal. If you assume like the taz that it's all about the improved taste, so then it could be that the original bishul taste was masked by the subsequent sli, and is now going to reemerge with another bishul. So if you're looking at what halachic changes has it gone through, so yeah, it's gone through bishul already, it's gone through sli already. There's nothing else to do, and anything you do has already happened. But if you're looking at, wait, is it actually going to change the taste? It will change the taste. If you take something that's sli, and then you're mevashel it, and then you're solid it again, it will change the taste. It's a little difficult, because the Bir Alacha rejects the taz's heter to reheat cooked food. So why would you be machmir for the svar of the taz when it comes to bishul achar tzli achar bishul? Okay, so Willig works on that. So practical ramifications of this inyan of tzli achar bishul achar tzli, where does it come up? It comes up in the following context. Powders that were cooked and then dried. What powders are cooked and then dried? Even more common? Coffee, hot cocoa, right, things like that. So Rabbi Willig suggests that it's milk powder, I guess. Rabbi Willig suggests mutter mimanafshach. According to the Taz, the taste didn't change when it was dried. Roasting would change the taste. Drying is different than roasting. It doesn't change the taste. According to the Egli Tal, it was cooked once before, so it's fine. So, bishul achar tzli achar bishul is not a problem. So even if it does have a din of tzli, but don't worry, it went through that halachic change already. Which leads to the discussion about making tea on Shabbos. Right, tea leaves very often are pre-cooked. So if they're pre-cooked, and then they're dried, they're roasted. So it l'chora would be very much connected to this. It seems if you Google it, how they make tea bags. It seems that one of the processes that they put it through is they sort of torch the tea leaves in the factory to remove any absorbed moisture in the tea leaves. They want the tea leaves to be perfectly dry. So they torch it in the factory. So it's already been roasted. So it undergoes a tzli or an afia process. So if you hold ein bishul achar afia, right, then you should be allowed to make tea in a kli rishon. Right? If you hold ein bishul achar afia, you should be allowed to make tea in a kli rishon. So if you hold that that's what the Mechaber really holds, that it's mutter, then you're allowed to make tea in a kli rishon. And that's, right, Rav Avadya is the one that thought that way. But Sfardim, who follow Rav Avadya's Pesach, might be allowed to make tea in a kli rishon based on the current metzias. But for Ashkenazim, obviously you have to be machmir, whether how machmir, klisheni, klishlishi, whatever, we'll discuss. Yeah?
Although Moshe says that doesn't have a notable change.
So you have to see if there's any meaning. There may be some other svara that by roasting a tea leaf, it doesn't have a significant enough change. Maybe that's not a real tzli. But if you consider it a real tzli, then it might be at least a tzad lahakel, right? When you're coming up with snifim lahakel, do I have to be choshesh that tea is kalei abishul? So let's say it's a machlokas. I could always throw in as an extra tzad lahakel that it may be that it's abishul achar tzli anyway. Also, there are some tea factories that will boil the tea leaves until all the moisture is fully evaporated. And it seems that the leaves are undergoing a form of bishel. In such a case, even Ashkenazim might be allowed to put tea leaves in a kli rishon that's off the fire. Now, you have to research how your tea company makes your tea leaves. But the way tea is... it used to be all the discussions in Poskim about tea, where they take a raw tea leaf and they just cook it for the first time. That's not what used to be. They'd have like tea leaves floating around in the cup. That's not the way we do it. There are factories that process these things, and the processing may involve bishul tzli or both. Question?
Yeah. How come according to Eglei Tal, there isn't a halakhic transformation going on? There is. It goes bishul. Now it hits tzli. Then it hits bishul again.
Because it already had bishul. That halachic impact has already been made. No, but it's a practical upgrade. It's not a halachic upgrade because they already had bishul. So once it had bishul, then bishul achar bishul. Once it went through that halachic change. I just want to get to one more thing because I apologize. I'm not going to be able to stick around after shiur. I have to give a Zoom shiur in Los Angeles. Here, but whatever. So instant coffee undergoes a different process in the factory. Coffee beans are roasted, and then they are crushed and they're heated with steam until they form like a paste. You can Google all this. This is how I get all my information. Then the paste is frozen in a dry and crushed form, and then it's passed through a pressure tube with temperatures upwards of 60 Celsius, where any remaining liquid in the coffee grain evaporates. Whoa. Okay, did you follow that? What happens to coffee beans? They go through a stage of tzli, and then bishul. Right? First the beans are roasted, that's tzli, and then they go through bishul when it's made into a paste, and then maybe tzli or afia again in the pressure tubes. And now on Shabbos, you want to do bishul. You want to cook them in hot water. So you have bishul, achar tzli, achar bishul, achar tzli in making your instant coffee. So the chor would depend on the prima gadin b'ralacha. Biralacha quotes the Prima Gadim Paskins that any food that was cooked with water and then roasted is mutter to be heated up on Shabbos with liquid, bishul, because lo nispasal shem bishul rishon. The first cooking is still there when it was later roasted. So it would be mutter to add instant coffee, even into a kli rishon, even if the last stage in the pressure tube is considered tzli. However, the Biralacha disagrees and says you can't heat up something with liquid that was roasted before Shabbos, even if it was originally cooked. So even if you have bishalach or tzliach or bishal, biralach himself is more machmir. So you wouldn't be allowed to put coffee in a kli rishon. However, many modern day poskim, Ramosha among them, holds that coffee is considered mavushal, and the last stage of the coffee making where it passes through the pressure tubes is not considered tzli. That's drying. Drying is not roasting. So where Moshe was saying before, the chumra, Rav Moshe's svara l'chumra by tea leaves is going to be a big svara l'kula by coffee. Because if the last thing that happened to it was bishul and not tzli, and what you want to do to it right now is bishul, you're good. You're going to be allowed to do bishul. So Rav Moshe, Arachayim Chayil Dalit, Seminayim Dalit, the famous Rabbi Eider Tshuva, bishul os tazayin, Paskins may ikra din, you could pour water directly from your urn on the instant coffee, ein bishul achar bishul. But he says he's personally machmir to make coffee in a kli shlishi, because he's Rav Moshe. Shmir Shabbos Paskins that you can make instant coffee in a kli sheni, because the coffee went through a bishul process before Shabbos. But since the process of making coffee in the factory changes occasionally, and many uncooked ingredients like sometimes vanilla flavoring or hazelnut flavoring or something like that are added to instant coffee, maybe it's best to be make coffee in a kli shlishi. Meaning, Rav Moshe had this intuition when he said he's machmir do it in a kli shlishi, that he was talking, he could tell you how they made instant coffee in 1975. But did he dream of Starbucks via? Did he dream of something called Starbucks? Did he dream of $9 a cup of coffees? Did he dream of people who can't live without that? And the Starbucks via is a whole different ball game. They have microbrewing. So what's a microbrew? They take uncooked coffee and they just chop it up really, really tiny and somehow make it dissolvable in the water without putting it through any previous Bishl process. So if they're going to change the whole way they make coffee, then all bets are off. So we're going to come back to coffee. I have a lot to say about coffee. For now, we'll stop there. Tomorrow, yeah, we never got to Bishl B'chama. So I think even before we go on to Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni and all that stuff and Kaf and everything else, we got to get back to Bishl B'chama. So maybe that will be on the agenda for tomorrow. I apologize, I got to run because I got to give this... here in Los Angeles. Everyone have a